This episode is the third in a series in collaboration with Sheep Producers Australia, part of the National Sheep and Goat Traceability Task Force to support industry with the move to electronic identification through the coordination and production of nationally consistent messaging. This episode, we talk to Brittany Bolt and Maeve O'Brien on how they use their experience off-farm working in the broader industry with EIDs and how it influenced their on-farm decision-making.
Thank you so much for joining us here to talk about EIDs tonight. We'll get straight into it. And the first thing I'll get you to do is both introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and your sort of enterprises.
Hi, Tiff. Thanks for having me. My name's Brittany Bolt, and I'm on a farm just outside of Wagen, a sheep and cropping farm. We've got a pole Dorset stud and commercial merinos.
Thanks so much for having us, Tiff. I'm Maeve. I live in Canning. My partner and I work have our own little enterprise. We've got 200 hectares that we run merino sheep on. And I've had lots of experience working for lots of other people who've used EIDs in the past. And I've just recently had a baby. She's 3 months old. So now I've branched off into my own little business where I am helping producers implement EIDs on their own property with the view of eventually offering field services of like collecting fleece weights and condition scores and things like that.
Thank you, girls. Oh, yes. Yeah, so much. So my first question is, have you implemented EIDs on your properties yet? If you haven't, what's the first steps you are going to take as both of you, as well as being on properties, you have that broader industry experience. So, you know, what would you recommend? What are you doing? What would you recommend other growers doing? And if you have implemented EIDs, what were the first steps you took? How did you pick your type of tags, your equipment, those types of things?
Yeah, so we're actually only in the very early stages of adopting EID tags on our property. So we've chosen the Shearwell tags purely because there's a sponsorship for our Pole Dorset Association. So there's partnership there, and we've heard a lot of good things about the other tags from other producers. Haven't had problems with them falling out or things like that, or errors with reading tags. That pretty much drove us to choose that. And we started tagging our sheep in 2021, we didn't have any EID equipment or anything like that, but we just started tagging sheep as soon as we were kind of interested in delving into that space. But it pretty much took us a while to make decisions on what type of tech we were going to adopt. And a big decision on pushing towards that is I really wanted to get comfortable with using the technology before choosing anything. And through other work off property at the Department of Ag, I've used a lot of true test software. So I thought that's what we were going to hang towards. But I'm also on the farm with my brother and my parents. And my brother's had other experience on other farms, which he really liked the Gallagher tech. So our first bit of tech we've only just bought at the Wagen Woolloorama this year, which was a Gallagher HR5 wand, which has a keyboard on it. Because we don't have an auto draft or anything flash like that, ours is pretty straightforward and standard old way crate. So we've just got a little wand that we can type in up to 9 traits on. We don't have to have an antenna or anything like that. It's the very basic tech that we can just start off with. And that's pretty much where we're at the moment.
Amazing. We'll go over to you, mate.
So, yeah, I'm the same as Britt because we have only just really started this little lease block. We don't have any EIDs at the moment, but it's obviously becoming mandatory as of next year, so we will be. We'll also be using Shearwells. I have lots of experience with Shearwell tags and a few other brands of tags, and in my experience, Shearwells have been the best. They seem to stay in the longest. They don't seem to get caught on as many things as other tags do. They don't have any trouble reading. The only thing about Shearwell tags that I don't love as much is that it's really difficult to read the number on the top of the tag because it's printed in grey instead of in black for some reason. Mm-hmm. But that's the only issue that I've had. And for like 99% of producers, that would never, ever be an issue. Like for all commercial producers, I don't think you would ever need to read the number on the top of a tag for any reason. So yeah, so we'll be going with Shearwell. Most of my experience actually is with this funny little software called Breed Elite, which I'm not sure many people know of. It's quite new. It's super, super powerful for stud users. You can draft on pretty much any criteria under the sun you can draft on. And it has massive storage potential. It stores all data of like all your pedigree stuff, all of your sheep genetics, ASBVs, all every weight that's ever been taken of any animal on your farm ever. So it, yeah, massive potential with that software. I found it very clunky and takes a long time to learn how to get good at using it. And it's obviously way more than any commercial producer would ever need. So we won't be using that, but that's what most of my experience is in. I would say we'll be leaning more towards the TrueTest sort of hardware. All of that DataMars support are really helpful if you ever run into tech issues. And I've just always found that software really intuitive and easy to use. And it's like, to me, it's the difference between like an Apple iPhone and a Samsung. I don't know what it is about Samsungs, but they just don't agree with me and I just can't figure out how to use them. And it's the same with TrueTest. It's like what an iPhone is to me. It's intuitive, it's user-friendly, everything is where you think it should be. And yeah, so that's the way that we'll be going.
Amazing. So what challenges you've obviously, yeah, both of you, as we've said, we've worked in the broader industry as well as just in the early stages of implementing the EIDs on your properties. So what challenges have you seen, do you think, throughout your travels and throughout your work? And what do you have any tips or tricks for growers that can overcome those challenges, particularly those who are in the early stages of implementing EIDs within their enterprises? I know some growers have come back and said they've struggled to use it initially, so had, you know, recommend having a second pair of pliers, for example, at the lamb marking table. You know, is there any little tips like that you have? Others have said they had some small gaps in their race, their drafting, that the ear tags kept getting stuck in, that they had cover up. Do you have any like little things you've witnessed, you know, out and about?
Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose the first thing that jumps to mind, it's only a simple one, which I think probably a lot of people are doing already, is just making sure you do have your VID tags, just your normal plastic tags alongside your EID tags. So like for us, for example, with our pole dorsets, when we're out in the paddock capturing your birth weights and mothering up and yeah, on the day data like that, we'll go and put in just a normal VID tag and then we'll be able to order the exact amount of EIDs that we need. Some people might be a bit more organised than us and they do preg scanning and things like that, so you've already got your tags all sorted, but we're a little bit behind the ball on that. So that's the way we operate at the moment. And that kind of helps you if you are having things, especially if you've got lambs on feedlots or anything like that, and if they're getting caught in the feeders or things like that, that kind of just gives you a little bit of a safety net.
Maeve, what about you?
Oh, yeah. I definitely second what Britt said, that visual tag is still really important as a backup for studs anyway. Like I think commercial producers, it might not matter as much, but it's not that expensive really if you just want to put an extra tag in. But yeah, for studs, it's massive. If you lose the EID and you have no idea who that sheep is and you have to do a DNA test or something and that's $30 and 6 weeks waiting for results, it's just an absolute pain in the ass. I would say I've noticed when weighing things with EID, some software, it won't tell you, like the software will think that you've put the same sheep through twice instead of just telling you you've already got a weight for this sheep or you've already got a condition score or whatever for this sheep and like warning you that it's been through before. So like, for example, if you've weighed a heap of sheep and your discharge pen is only small and all the sheep that you've already weighed that have gone out the front of the drafter are kind of pooling around the drafter, there's been a few times where there's just this one sheep that's standing right next to the panel reader and getting its weight overridden and overridden and overridden, and then you've got 60 sheep that have actually gone through the drafter but not had a weight recorded, if that makes sense. And you don't find out until after, and you're looking for, you know, these 60 sheep that have gone through on the day but don't have a weight recorded because they've just gone through as a different sheep. That would be the one catch that has gotten me too many times and is too freaking hard. But some software will tell you about that, so that's not always an issue. But yeah, for the most part, I think it takes a bit of learning, but for the most part, the equipment and the support people behind it are pretty good at steering you through it. And yeah, we'll give you the tips that you need.
Yeah, I agree strongly with that. We've had the same problems as well with sheep coming up once I've been drafted, popping up outside the crate next to the panel. So we've had to put up just temporary panels to block it off to keep them away from it. That's
Yeah,
what I do.
especially stud sheep that are a bit friendlier than the
Oh, yeah.
commercials.
That's it.
And so that leads into sort of my next question is, what are you guys wanting to do eventually with your data? You would have seen a lot of different enterprises, a lot of different situations where people are doing different things with their data. What do you think you will do? And what are some examples of what you've seen people doing with their data?
Oh, I'd really love to start doing some individual improvement and selection in our Merino enterprise. Feel like we've got it pretty down pat with our poll Dorsets, even though we've done a lot of that recording on paper. Now we're looking at improving that all through the wand and keeping everything in Excel files. We're hoping to do that in the Merinos as well and start selecting on fleece traits and doing some fleece weighing, maybe some mid-side samples, and just having everything on an individual basis with our merinos, because we do a very basic, pretty much like wet and dry based on production and things like that. I think we're lacking on that, and I'm quite excited to delve into that space.
Yeah, there's a massive scope for what you can do, and really the sky's the limit with EIDs. It just depends on your enterprise and what works for you. My clients have been really interested in like a whole sheep picture, like a gross margin almost. So if you put together like the fleece weights and the weight of the lambs that they've reared in the last year, and then look at how much money each sheep is making you can really take the tail off. Like you'll find there are some sheep that consistently cut 5 kilos of wool a year and have raised triplets and is still in good nick, ready to go for the next year. And there's some that have been in the same mob eating the same food for the whole year and have made you nothing or have even cost you money. So just on a selection basis, it can, like EIDs, I'd say could pay for themselves very, very quickly just from doing that. Like on a really basic scale, just for commercial users, I could see it being really useful if you were keeping a track of what sires are used in what mobs, like if you were doing a single sire or a dual sire, kind of a mating, and then looking at offspring of that mating and weights and fleece weights and just figuring out, yeah, what actual genetics is working for you and things like that.
Amazing. And so my sort of last question is just any other tips and tricks do you think? So you guys have a really unique skill set in the sense that you've worked in broader industry. Any other things you think you wish other growers would know, you know, what you've seen out and about?
People haven't bought tags already. They've got the WA tag incentive payment scheme that's still running this year that knocks off about 75 cents. So I think that's like $1.30 or $1.25 or something you're getting tags for this year's tags. So I think, you know, start chucking your tags in like we did, even if you don't have the tech yet, because then if you're keeping your breeding ewes on for 5 years or so, at least you've got tags in them ready to go. And the space in the carcasses and the traceability there, I think there's great potential, because at this stage, even though it's going to be mandatory, it's quite, you know, a challenge in your face where you've got to put a $2 tag in an animal and a lamb that's going to go straight to the slaughterhouse. Whereas in the future, hopefully in the near future, that we'll be able to get carcass feedback on individual animals. That'll be very beneficial to us in the stud industry, particular terminal sires, but that could be across the board and in commercial enterprises as well, because at the end of the day, you want to see which ones are your most profitable, your higher yielding, higher quality animals. So yeah, that'll be exciting space.
Yeah, definitely. That's something to look forward to. I do think that you're right, Britt, that putting EIDs into everything right now is not really, like, the industry isn't quite set up for that yet. Hopefully it will be in the next 10 or 15 years. But you're right, putting a $2 tag in a sheep that's destined to be slaughtered in 6 months is going to hurt a few people. I would say, like, in terms of tips and tricks, probably the best thing you could do is to ask someone who has the equipment that you're thinking about buying, if you can just watch them using it, and like go and find someone who's already got a true test whey crate or a Brood Elite whey crate or something, and see if you can just go and just hang out with them while they're weighing a bunch of sheep for the day, because that's going to be your best bet to figure out, like, how easy is it for you to use? Is it maybe too advanced for what you need to use it for, and you're paying a heap of money for something that you're never going to use? Or is it not advanced enough? What are the mistakes that you can make when you're weighing? Things like that that you'll only really know when you start using it. Like, yeah, you wouldn't want to buy something without trying it first, I reckon, is the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think there's been a lot of feedbacks have said, like, to know what you want to get out of it, it's the same as like your yield map data. A few people are referring it back to ask yourself, what do you want to achieve with your enterprise, and then base your purchase decisions for equipment off that. And I think that's a really, really great point. Don't underestimate the research. But yeah, do either of you have anything else you want to add?
I probably would like compliment what Maeve said there, is like really focusing on what you want to get out of it. Because even though there is a lot of hype around the EIDs and how good they are, really delving into what you want to do with your data, and because it is a time thing as well, how much time you're going to invest into your business, what extra work are you going to be doing, even though there's auto drafters and stuff that can make things quicker if you're like us and don't have an auto drafter, you know, things still take a bit of time. You're still manually punching things in. But where is your data going to drive you? If you're going to be using it, then definitely go for it. But if you're not going to be using it and you're just collecting it for the sake of it, like, oh, that's when you go run to Maeve and go, help me out with my data. The way to go.
Yeah, I would second that, Britt. I would say either get very good at Excel before you start using EIDs, or find someone like me, just quietly, who is really good at Excel, because Excel will be your best friend before, you know, all of the softwares that I've used to collect and store EID-based data. I have always gone back to Excel to figure out the nuts and bolts of it. Excel is just very cheap. It's accessible to everybody. Most people already have it on their computers, and it's really intuitive. So yes.
What is your business name, Maeve, and how can they find you? And are you seeing a lot of growers are getting somebody in to manage their data? Are they finding that easier?
Yes. Yeah. I would say most people who are new to EID especially, but a lot of long-standing EID users have someone in the background who's a bit of an Excel whiz and, you know, can work the analysis magic for them. And even studs, they often have people who are managing their sheep genetics uploads and that sort of thing. So that's what I'm offering. So my business is called Mallowillup Livestock Services. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook. It's Mallowillup, which I'm just realizing now is podcasting is just not the best way to be talking about my business because it's so hard to spell. But but yeah, that's what I'm doing. So I'm at the moment, while the baby is still young, I'm doing a lot of remote services. So if anyone has any issues with Excel or analyzing data, master spreadsheets, all of that, that's all my jam. In the future, I'll be offering field services. So if you want someone to come out to your farm for you and collect your fleece weights or collect a set of condition scores or something, that's what I'll be able to do. And also genetic counseling. So like, I've got one client at the moment who has been selling rams for donkey's years, but he'd just now like to start adding a bit more data into the business and selling them with ASBVs. So I'll be helping him with his sheep genetics exports and things like that. That's the kind of thing that I'll be going into in the next few years.
Yeah, and I think we'll see a few businesses come out of EIDs, and it's exciting really for the industry and what we can do with the information that we sort of start recording, I suppose. It is an exciting time.
Yeah, it is very exciting. I would just say, like, it's okay to be overwhelmed. There are so many people who are overwhelmed, and it's okay to throw your hands up and be like, this is way too hard. I need to pay someone to do it for me. That's fine. There's so many people like that.
Yeah, I think that will be an option for a few growers, is outsourcing that data management. And there's nothing wrong with that either. It's how they sort of find people like yourself. And is that the best way is social media, or will you guys be out and about at field days or that sort of thing? How can they find people to manage their data?
Yeah, I would say for me, it would be getting in contact with me via social media or email me. I'm on the list. If you look up sheep genetics service providers, I'm on the bottom of that list. So you can find all my contact details that way. There are a few popping up on social media, or there's a few like long-standing data manager type people who are around who've been doing it for ages. who are quite well known. But yeah, I would actually say that sheep genetic service provider list, if you Google that, there's a big list. And I think it does all of Australia, list all your local data managers. It does like genetic counsellors, everyone who can give you advice on data and EIDs, they'll be in that list. So ring one of them up.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time, guys. And I hope there's a few tips out of there that growers can make their lives easier with the transition.
No worries. Thanks very much for having us, Tiff.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you to Maeve and Britt. Please find in the show notes a link to the Sheep Producers Australia website for more information, to Malawealup Livestock Services, and a link to sheep genetic service providers as discussed in the episode.